My name is Derek Chen. I was born and raised in Sichuan province in southwest of mainland China. I met my amazing wife, Brandy, in the university where I studied in civil engineering. It was definitely the love at first sight. So I got very lucky and we got married right after we both graduated from university. Growing up in China and we didn't have any opportunity to know Jesus or know God. We were taught that God was not real and everyone should become an atheist. I had never seen a church in my hometown growing up. There was no Bible to read. No one knew anything about Jesus. We were told that in order for us to find happiness in our life, we must rely on ourselves to work hard and pursue things in our life, such as higher social status, more position, and more money. It seemed to make sense to me when I was young. That was what I just did when we first came to Canada. However, climbing up into higher positions and making more money didn't work out the way it was supposed to be. In reality, they didn't make me feel happy and didn't make my family feel happy. I felt defeated and I feel exhausted. I was lost and I was confused. And I feel lonely in the darkness and powerless and hopeless. So there was definitely something missing in my life. I just couldn't figure it out myself. While dealing with increasing struggles and in Canada, devastating news and came from China that my dad was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer and his days were numbered. So at that point, all things were absolutely out of control in my life. And it seemed that there was a dark cloud following me around and I feel weak and powerless in that darkness. And that was when I realized that I just cannot live my life just by myself. There are so many things that I just don't have control. And that was when I feel that God really started working my heart and God showed his love and his grace and hope to me and to my family through all kinds of miracles in my life. So by God's grace, and after getting a late night phone call from my mom in China, I flew 24 hours from Vancouver Airport and miraculously made it just in time to China in the hospital, hours before my dad died. He was unconscious and he was unable to speak at that time, but I knew he was waiting for me. So I was just sitting right beside his hospital bed and I was praying for God's grace and God's salvation for my dad who had never ever had any chance to know God. I asked God to forgive my dad for his sins and then I asked God to give my dad a chance to get to know Jesus. I told my dad that God created him and God loved him even though he never had a chance to know him in his life. And I prayed to God that, God, just would you please help my dad to know Jesus, to commit to Jesus, to accept Jesus so he can go to heaven. So while I was praying and out of nowhere, and my dad took my hand to his mouth and he kissed me. And he kissed my hand for the first time in my life. So at that special moment, and my heart was deeply touched and moved. And I feel the Holy Spirit was in that room with us, in that hospital bed in China with me and my dad. So hours later, my dad passed away peacefully. And I'm so, so grateful that my dad is in heaven with Jesus. So truly, God is real. If you believe him, you will see him.
We'll be reading from John 1, 9 to 13. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or husband's will, but born of God.
Hi, friends. What a beautiful season. What a wonderful time in the life of our community. Certainly, even during this Church Connect, to hear from Derek, hear about his personal faith journey. And of course, beautiful to think of what happened supernaturally in the life of his father near the end of his life. And of course, hearing from two team members, Mike and David, what a good season we're in. What a hope we have as we continue to appreciate the blessing of God and his interest to be a part of things that we're doing and we're doing for him. So thank you for being a part of Living Waters Church at this time of year. Well, we began a series last week called Light in the Darkness, and we're taking a look during this Advent season at the Gospel of John, the first chapter. He helps us zoom out a bit when we're talking about the Christmas story, and wow, I'm sure enjoying the things that we're thinking about. Last week, beautiful, Luke shared a number of beautiful insights from John's prologue. John reminding us not to mistake the humility and modesty of the manger, to miss who this child is. For now there was a light shining in the darkness, and so regardless of how dark things are, there's always hope because of Jesus. John, of course, helping us as well appreciate the large invitation that comes in the manger, comes at Christmas, of how God has gone to great lengths to open a door very wide, to give an invitation so broad, and to set a table that is so rich and nourishing. Well, today, the title of this message is The Child Who Makes Us Children. And of course, considering the passage that we've had read, verses 9 to 13 of chapter 1 of the Gospel of John. In verse 9 and 10, John shares prophetically of how the true light was coming into the world. Meaning what? This light, Jesus, was in the world, the Christmas story. The one by whom the world was made, and this light will most naturally illuminate the darkness, because this is what light does. You'll never know there's darkness until there is a trusted light source. And now, as Jesus was in the world, the light of the world, we begin to see the contrast of that which is referencing light and, of course, that which is referenced in darkness. In verse 12 and 13, John celebrates, to all who did receive him, referring to Jesus, the light of the world, and to those who believed in his name. It's here that John is differentiating the use of two common words related to growing in Christ, actually laying out the pathway of discipleship for a follower of Jesus. And he uses three words, two I mentioned now, the word receiving and the word believing. Receiving and believing. My father-in-law was involved in municipal politics for 27 years. In 1975, going way back, Queen Elizabeth II and Prince Philip visited Peterborough, Ontario, where he lived. And it was the responsibility of the current members of council to receive upon their arrival Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip. And this is the picture of that very day taken 47 years ago. They received, in this picture, Prince Philip. They understood the designation of title, his rule, his authority. They believed it was him, and so received him respectfully and appropriately. See, believing and receiving are two separate actions. And John is helping us here see that salvation is more than just believing. It is also receiving. James 2 says, you believe that there is one God. Well, good. Even the demons believe that and shudder. See, salvation is the result of believing that leads to a receiving. And it's not until someone believes and receives that a spiritual conversion happens and spiritual growth begins as they begin on the pathway of discipleship. In his story today, Jerick Chen references the personal invitation he heard from God. You believe me, then you will receive me, or you will see me. And that's what happened in his life. And it changed his life forever. Salvation is more than a thumbs up to believing Jesus lived. It's not just nodding to an agreement of titles and distinction. It's not just liking the idea of a cute child in a manger. No, it's making room for the benefits and change that comes as we receive Jesus by faith into our lives, and at which point we receive supernatural transformation. See, salvation, Christmas, involves not just the believing, but also the receiving, as does salvation. There is a much needed response that comes along with believing, and that is called receiving. For Jesus can't be your forgiver of sins without you receiving forgiveness of our sins. He can't be a savior without someone receiving salvation and rescue. He can't be a king without someone receiving the rule of that king. He can't be a deliverer without someone receiving the freedom that comes from that deliverance. So, believing and receiving is the gospel. Jesus, or John, goes on to introduce a third word of great importance in the pathway of discipleship. He says, to all who did receive him and to those who believed in him, verse 12 and 13, he gave the right to become children of God. Children who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Notice what John is saying. It's not to those who have worked the hardest, have done their best. No, it's the people who received him. It's the whoever's in the world that have believed and received that become children of God. Salvation, and first again, salvation involves first believing, which leads to receiving, which supernaturally makes room for a process of promise of you and I being born again all over. This is being born again, giving us all a second chance to get it right. And again, this is John's third word of distinction, receiving, believing, and becoming. To become a child of God, you have to believe something, you have to receive something, and then you become something. You become a child of God. And this is what Christmas is all about. John zooming out to help us appreciate the full reach and the full message of Christmas. This is what John is helping us see. What we find in a manger is a child that makes us children, children of God. This becoming is the gift. For this is brand new life that comes to us directly from Jesus. This is the gift of salvation. This is the gift of the gospel. Us becoming something that we've not been before and can't and won't without the grace and goodness of God. So how does this actually happen? We go to 1 Peter 1, verse 23. For you have been born again, and not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. Friends, if you have faith to believe in Jesus' virgin birth, a child conceived by the Spirit, then you also have faith to believe in the possibility of this new birth happening in your life. It's supernatural. The gospel starts with us believing and finishes up with us receiving the right to become children of God. And so people, actually it happened in my life, a person, me, potentially you, we are born again as children of God, not of human blood, not of the will of the flesh or the will of man, but of God. God is our begotter, conceived by the seed of the eternal word of God through the Holy Spirit, at which time a new creature is born into this world and we become the offspring of God, being born again. It's supernatural. Something happens within a person, and only God can do that work. My first birth by way of Reginald Doris Soames. My second birth was by way of the Holy Spirit, at which time a new creature is born. Dave Soames, crucified with Christ, and now it's no longer I that live, but Christ that lives within me. I am a child of God. See, Christian living is the living out of the activities and attitudes of Christ that lives within. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old is gone and the new has come. The new has come. A new child born with a new nature, a new name, a new attitude, a new mind, a new emotion, and a new eternal destiny. And once we become children of God, we are not the same people ever, ever, ever again. Why? Because to become a child of God, receiving, believing, and becoming, it creates transformation. So in our human relationship, our first families, think about it, we start out very dependent and grow up to become independent. We, as we grow as young children in our first families, we become our own people. We develop our own personalities, our own interests, our own habits, our own looks. And inherently, often, as is the case with adult children, we are often very much not like our first parents. In our human relationships, we end up with children often very different than their parents. But in our faith journey, it is the opposite which happens. We start out very independent, and from the moment of our believing, receiving, and becoming, we become dependent. And it's because of the continuance of dependence on Christ's work within us that we are daily transformed more and more into the image of our Father and be more and more becoming like Him, rather than not like Him. So our human journey as children, contrasted with our spiritual journey as children of God, is very, very much different. 2 Peter 1:4 says, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. All that Jesus calls us to is related to our divine nature. Dave Soames is crucified and now alive in Christ. And it's this alive in Christ that Jesus is always speaking to us about and calling us on towards. He gives a new heart, renews our minds. He gives us a new way to do things. He fills us with His Spirit, giving us the strength and courage we don't have without the Spirit. It's impossible for the old man to live out the new way. That's why all things have to become new. Moving along, John 17, 16 says, they are not, speaking of his children, Jesus says, his offspring, his lineage, they are not of this world, even as I am not of it, Jesus said. Well, how is that possible? We are to be in the world, but not of it. What does this mean? As Oswald Chambers says, it means to be separated internally, not externally. To be separated internally, not externally. Think about and examine the life of Jesus. He was not of this world, but he was in this world. Jesus was not a recluse. He was not a fanatical holy man practicing self-denial. He did not physically cut himself off from society, but Jesus was inwardly disconnected all the time. What do I mean by that? Again, hear me here. Jesus was not aloof, but he lived in another world. This world was not his home. In fact, he was so much in the common everyday world because he cared about people that the religious people of the day accused him of being a glutton and a drunkard. Yet our Lord never allowed anything to interfere with his consecration of spiritual power, which came from his relationship with his Heavenly Father and his destiny. So how do we practically do that? How do we live in the world, but not of the world? How do we follow Christ's example? Ephesians 5, here's two ideas. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2 says, follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. This is our family function, to walk, our new family function, to walk in the way of love as Christ has, giving up our life as a daily act of worship all day and every day. So as dearly loved children, walk in the way of love, loving your Heavenly Father, and out of that love, care for people. It's what Jesus did. Secondly, we must make a deliberate determination to be interested only in what God is interested in. And that is the journey on the pathway of discipleship. The way to make that determination, perhaps, when faith was the perplexing problem, is perhaps to ask yourself, is this the kind of thing in which Jesus Christ is interested? Or is it something in which the Spirit is diametrically opposed to what Jesus is interested in? So friends, in closing, let us not mistake the humility and modesty of the manger to miss who this child is. This child, this Jesus, is the child that makes us children, children of God. And so in our passage today, John asks us questions. What do you believe? What have you received? And thirdly, have you become a child of God? If you haven't, the invitation of the manger is being heard today pretty loudly and clearly. Jesus offers us new life. What would stop you today from giving your life to Jesus? I would think of nothing that would stop us today from saying yes to Jesus. Make that decision. Secondly, if you are a child of God, if you have become a child of God, the application is, how's that going? Let's lean in deeply to all that Christ has called us into and become all that Jesus has in his mind for us to become. If we get our becoming right, we'll get our doing right. And with that, Jesus will be glorified and people will be helped. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for your willingness to become a child so that we could become a child as well. We thank you that we find in you belief. You are someone that we can believe in. You are someone that wants to get involved in our lives. We want to receive you. We want to receive that fullness of life that you offer us. And we do so now. We confess you as Lord and Savior, and we make room in our lives for you so that we can become children of God. I pray perhaps for that one who finds himself thinking they're far away from you. I pray that you would change the thinking. No one is far away from you. You're as close as the mention of your name. And pray for my friends today, as hard or as difficult as life may seem, I thank you that you're as close as the mention of your name, and you come to rescue and save and help and get involved in our lives, and we trust you to do so today. Lord, it would be your heart that all would come to know you, and that would certainly be everyone gathered for Church Connect today, that all of us would not just believe, but would receive and so become children of God. Lord, I thank you for the large heart you have for your world, and pray during this Advent season that people truly would see you through the work of your Holy Spirit. We pray that you would work within our lives, within our communities, and accomplish all that you have on your heart and mind at this time of year. In Jesus' name, amen.